Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The Wall Street Journal this morning starts right after this.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym, squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
For a limited time, get a $100 mail-in rebate debit card on a set of four select brand-name tires at your Cadillac dealer. See participating dealer for eligible tire brands and details. Rebate form must be postmarked by June 30th, 2014. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery of debit card. Offer ends May 31st, 2014.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
A boost for prayer. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It is Tuesday, May 6th. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
In a split decision, the Supreme Court has ruled that the town of Greece, New York, can begin government meetings with a prayer.
The Journal says Credit Suisse is nearing an agreement with prosecutors over allegations the big bank helped Americans avoid taxes.
The American Legion wants the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to resign. We'll explain why and discover the kind of influence the group may have.
And encouraging news on the housing front.
The high quality of new loans, the rebound in home prices, and more aggressive attention by servicers to avoid foreclosure. And that helps explain why we've seen the foreclosure rate drop as much as it has.
Wall Street Journal real estate reporter Nick Timiraos on the drop in new foreclosures. He's here in about 20 minutes. Let's bow our heads for a quick prayer. That's the phrase you might hear at more town meetings. The Supreme Court has upheld the practice of public prayer before local government meetings, rejecting arguments that overwhelmingly Christian invocations violate the constitutional bar on the establishment of an official religion. The case split the court 5-4, allowing prayers at board meetings in the town of Greece, New York, just outside Rochester, in the western part of the state, about an hour and a half from Niagara Falls. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote, quote, "Our tradition assumes that adult citizens, firm in their own beliefs, can tolerate and perhaps appreciate a ceremonial prayer delivered by a person of a different faith." Wall Street Journal reporter Brent Kendall says the liberal wing of the court disagreed.
Justice Kagan, writing for the court's liberals, says, look, you know, in this case, if you look at all these prayers over a decade, that, you know, they are predominantly Christian with strong Christian themes, and that the town didn't make a whole lot of effort to reach out to clergy of other faiths.
Justice Kennedy, meanwhile, noted that Greece was fact-specific and said the court was not endorsing invocations that denigrate non-believers or religious minorities, threaten damnation, or preach conversion. The Ukrainian government says 30 pro-Russia rebels have been killed in fighting. Interior Minister Arsen Avakov says that 4 government troops also died and another 20 were injured during fighting in and around the eastern city of Slovyansk. Ukrainian forces have been fighting anti-government militias in what politicians have called an anti-terror operation. Meanwhile, in the 6th year of his presidency, President Obama is discovering that he's trapped in a giant foreign policy paradox. His reluctance to get America involved in new conflicts abroad matches today's public mood, yet it somehow bothers Americans at the same time. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib says a speech at West Point at the end of this month is emerging as a key moment to explain himself. Jerry, what's this about?
This is the problem the president's got, that people don't want to get involved in messiness overseas, but they also want the president to look strong and to take on our enemies. And that's the paradox that Mr. Obama has to deal with.
All right. Is there a way he can improve on that?
Well, they're going to try. They're going to try by explaining more clearly in coming weeks how he's approaching the world. And that's going to start with a commencement address that he gives at West Point on May 28th, which will be devoted to kind of explaining his view of the world and how he's approaching this and how he's trying to both be involved in the world without getting pulled into conflicts around the world. And then this summer, it's going to be an interesting summer of conversation about these things, because he's going to make, among other things, a trip to Europe this summer, and he's going to be going to right toward the place where Ukraine is now roiling the world. He's going to go to Poland and Belgium and Normandy, and this was not seen originally when it was conceived as a trip that would be designed to explain how he's going to take on a newly assertive Russia, but that's what it's going to be.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib about President Obama's foreign policy paradox. You know, as much as he may not want to be involved in other parts of the world, and we may have war fatigue, there's some dangerous stuff going on right now, right?
Well, exactly. What you're seeing is kind of a breakdown of both the Cold War world structure and the post-World War II structure, and they're kind of the same thing, I guess, in many ways, and not a clear sense of how you replace that. Now, you know, there was a period after 9/11 for about a decade when these questions kind of got put aside because everybody's focus was on dealing with terrorism and dealing with wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But that phase has kind of ended, and now we're on to the what comes next phase. And when you look up, what you see is a bunch of failed states in the Middle East, where the fact that they're kind of artificially created has finally come home to roost, and a newly assertive Russia, and a China that is both assertive externally, but also, you know, facing some potential problems internally, because it's got a giant population and an economy that, while it's roaring along, still struggles to keep up with all that. And so now you have a whole new set of challenges. And the focus on Iraq and Afghanistan and terrorism is fading a little bit, and people want to know, so how are we going to deal with all this?
President Obama has never really projected himself as a foreign policy leader, so is there credibility to be salvaged here in the final, you know, 2.5 years of his term?
Well, his credibility is being questioned, that's for sure, and I think a lot of that has to do with decisions he's made. But I don't think it's so much a credibility question as a kind of a vision question. How should we Americans approach this world that we're in now and the messiness that we're now seeing? And, you know, it's a situation, a classic situation, really, in which a president can't just follow polls, which tell you that Americans say they don't really want to be involved so much around the world, but kind of instead lead public opinion, because, as you suggested, it's not really an option for an American president to withdraw from the world. He's got to explain to people why they need to be involved in the world and how we're going to go about doing that.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. 13 minutes now after the hour.
By 2025, it's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs, as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
Squarespace, the easiest way to create an exceptional website. Squarespace provides everything you need to create a beautiful website for you or your business, including trendy designs and unique styles. And you don't have to worry about getting stuck along the way. Squarespace has a 24/7 support team. Try Squarespace today for free, and when you're ready to go live, enter WSJ at checkout and save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code WSJ at squarespace.com/WSJ. Squarespace.com/WSJ. This portion of the program is brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Do you want to know the best way to thank mom for all she's done for you through the years? Send her a beautiful 100 blooms bouquet plus a free glass vase from ProFlowers.com for just $19.99. Upgrade to 100 blooms with a pink vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. ProFlowers freshly picked bouquets make the perfect gift for Mother's Day and will last the whole week. Ordering is easy. Just pick your delivery date and it's guaranteed on time. Here's the only way to get this amazing Mother's Day deal. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone and type in WSJ. This deal expires Friday at midnight, so be sure that you thank mom and place your order today.
The American Legion, the largest national veterans group, wants the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Eric Shinseki, to resign. The group made the call yesterday amid probes into allegations that veterans died while waiting for primary care appointments. The VA has been scrutinized recently after allegations that the Phoenix VA healthcare system kept a secret waiting list for primary care appointments, which made official wait times for record-keeping and reporting purposes seem much shorter, and that as many as 40 veterans died while waiting for initial appointments. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. Ben, what's been happening here?
Just a year ago, the American Legion was a huge supporter of Secretary Shinseki, who is a retired Army general, a decorated combat veteran. They said that he was a very good supporter of veterans and doing good things at the administration. But since then, there have been a number of allegations and what they're calling scandals. There's been a few deaths related to Legionnaire's disease, which is a form of pneumonia at the Pittsburgh VA, and investigation showed that improper management of tap water in the facility can lead to that. There have been widespread allegations that have come up very recently that the Phoenix VA has used a so-called secret waiting list for appointments for veterans. So they would put their name in to get on a waiting list to see a doctor, and instead of going into the official system, which gets reported to Washington, it would go on a sort of informal system to make the wait times look shorter. But in fact, the wait times were much longer, and there's ongoing reviews by the VA, the VA's Inspector General, which is an independent body, and then the House Committee on Veterans Affairs with those Phoenix allegations right now.
Has the VA responded to these calls for a shakeup?
They have responded, not really directly addressing the call for resignation, but saying that the secretary has much more work to do. That the VA is that he's done a lot of work already. The VA is not a perfect place, and it does need more. And there seems that for now, the VA and the secretary are committed to staying around and finishing some of the work that they've been doing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. This must mean that the American Legion doesn't think that this is an isolated incident.
That's right. The Legion sees this as being a systemic issue, stemming from leadership not being able to, not having a culture of accountability with subordinates at the more than 150 VA hospitals and more than 800 outpatient clinics around the country. So the Legion has lost faith with leadership at the top.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. 21 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. It's okay to pray before local government meetings, says the Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision. The High Court, issuing a ruling split along ideological lines, rejected arguments that the prayers, largely Christian, violated the Constitution. The Journal's Brent Kendall.
They rejected arguments by the challengers in this case that these sorts of prayers should be more generic in nature and non-sectarian.
The case originated in a Rochester, New York suburb. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether your local officials must provide detailed written reasons as to why they've denied construction of a new cell phone tower. The court will hear an appeal by a T-Mobile subsidiary turned away for a permit in Roswell, Georgia. U.S. prosecutors are close to getting both a guilty plea and a settlement of more than $1 billion from Credit Suisse over allegations that it helped Americans evade taxes. But authorities want to be sure that this record deal would not put the bank out of business or damage the economy. A desperate search is on for more than 200 schoolgirls who were abducted by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram in northeast Nigeria last month. French news service AFP says the group's leader admitted to the kidnappings and said he would sell the girls. The teenagers had been taking exams at the time of their abductions. Stock futures this morning are a little bit positive after a little change day on Wall Street, although it was positive. The Dow was up 18, tempered by disappointing updates from Pfizer and J.P. Morgan Chase and some weak Chinese data.
These are kind of bellwether companies within the industry, and people are concerned that if they're having trouble, then others are going to have trouble.
Market strategist Ken Tower, the NASDAQ was up 14. The S&P 500 rose 4. You've probably noticed that meat prices have been on the rise, and now it looks like they might go even higher, with Tyson Foods forecasting tight meat supplies in the months ahead. Farmers are dealing with animal illness and drought. If you own or operate a small business, then Facebook is trying to get your attention as it looks to boost ad revenue. The social media company is announcing a campaign called Facebook Fit, holding workshops in several cities to show small business owners how to use the site as a marketing tool. All internet and social media companies have been finding that small business is a hard market to crack.
I can understand that.
Yeah, New York, Miami, Chicago, Austin, and Menlo Park.
Okay.
Are the cities where these are going to take place, apparently.
All right, what is it, 27, 28 million small businesses in this country? I think the rule of thumb, 90% of them have 10 employees or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can figure that it's hard for these companies to figure out time to manage social media with so much to do, so few employees.
Yep, agreed.
Thank you, Gina. 24 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Another reason to feel cautiously optimistic about the housing market. Wall Street Journal real estate reporter Nick Timiros says the number of foreclosures initiated by lenders in March fell to the lowest level in 7.5 years. He's with us on the T-Mobile hotline. Nick, what's behind this?
A number of reasons for the decline. Banks have been much more aggressive in, and borrowers, frankly, have been more aggressive in pursuing modifications. Banks have been staffing up to handle requests for loan assistance. And then home prices have recovered, and so you have fewer people falling underwater on their mortgage. And so if you lose your job and you can't make your mortgage payment, but you have equity, then you can sell your house. And the last thing we've seen is that lending standards have become much tighter since 2008. So almost all of the mortgages that have been causing problems are those that were made before 2009. And everything that's been originated over the past 5 years, this is very clean paper. So these loans have been defaulting at very, very low rates historically. And you add all of that together, the high quality of new loans, the rebound in home prices, and more aggressive attention by servicers to avoid foreclosure. And that helps explain why we've seen the foreclosure rate drop as much as it has.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal real estate reporter Nick Timiros in Washington. How about the numbers regarding people underwater, since we're seeing these numbers with regards to foreclosures and mortgage delinquencies?
Yeah, the underwater numbers are also looking better, and that's mostly a function of the rebound in home prices over the past 2 years. The report from this company, Black Knight Financial Services, which is a mortgage analytics firm in Florida, found that 1 in 10 borrowers owes more than their homes are worth. We call that being underwater. And that's high, but it's down from 1 in 3 4 years ago. I mean, 34% of borrowers 4 years ago owed more than their homes were worth. Now it's just 10%. And so that is a huge weight off of the neck of the housing market.
Thanks, Nick. Wall Street Journal real estate reporter Nick Timiros again. Banks initiated foreclosures on 88,000 properties in March, down more than 27% from a year ago. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, turning up the heat on Credit Suisse.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning, America's first news.
It is Tuesday, May 6th. Glad you could be with us. Gordon Deal sitting alongside Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the Supreme Court okays prayer before local government meetings. More deadly violence in the Ukraine crisis and why somebody was handing out $100 bills at the Kentucky Derby. That report in about 20 minutes. There's word today that U.S. prosecutors are near a guilty plea and a settlement of more than $1 billion from Credit Suisse over allegations the bank helped wealthy Americans evade taxes. On that note, Attorney General Eric Holder is indicating that banks are, quote, not too big to jail, and that the Justice Department is coordinating more closely with financial regulators in order to make it possible to bring criminal charges against large financial institutions. The message came in a video yesterday that was posted on the department's website.
No individual or company, no matter how large or how profitable, is above the law.
More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. Devlin, what's up here?
He said this in different ways before, but now it carries more weight because he speaks about specific upcoming cases. He doesn't name any of the banks in particular, but we know from sources that they're in talks to try and extract a guilty plea from both BNP Paribas and Credit Suisse. Interestingly, two European banks, not American banks, and also two banks who are under investigation for conduct that's not related to the financial collapse.
Isn't this the same Attorney General's office that recently said the jails were too full of people already for things like low-level drug possession offenses?
That's right. And the reality is that even as he's saying there's no such thing as too big to jail, it's not clear that either of those cases, assuming those are the ones that come that result in guilty pleas, will be anything more than corporate guilty pleas, meaning the entity of the corporation will plead guilty to violations. But it's not clear at all that any of those will involve sending actually human beings to jail. So that still remains to be seen. It's at least the Credit Suisse is a tax evasion case, essentially, and there are people who are pleading guilty in that who may go to jail, although it's not clear that any of the actual senior executives will be in that group.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett in Washington. So what's with the video message? What's behind that instead of, say, some formal announcements or
right.
speech?
Right. It's the YouTube age, right? So basically, he's gotten in this habit of putting out one of these about once a week. And it's sometimes a message to the troops, meaning the folks under him at the Justice Department. Sometimes it's a message on some new policy push they're doing. And I think, look, he's been saying there's no such thing to jail for a long time now. So the basic gist of the message isn't that new. What's different is the timing. And what's also different is that he really is sort of trying to dispel an idea that he fostered at one point. You know, the classic oddity of this situation is back last year, he testified before a committee where he seemed to lay out in very clear terms the too big to jail argument, because he said, you know, we do have this problem where we come across, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, but he says, we do have this problem where we come across cases where we'd like to bring a criminal charge, and then regulators say, well, we may have to take action that will be devastating to that entity if you do bring a criminal charge. And everyone took from that answer at that hearing that he meant that, in fact, too big to jail was real and existed. And frankly, ever since then, he's been trying to say, no, I swear it's not real. We will charge somebody.
So where does this go now?
Well, now it's up to them to bring the cases, right? I mean, he's put all his cards down on this notion that we will make cases against big banks. The two that we think are soon or close to ending in some sort of guilty plea or charge are Paribas and Credit Suisse. But then there's a whole other list of cases that are essentially civil settlements, mostly against U.S. banks for the mortgage-backed security problems. Yeah. And it's, you know, those have been sort of on the burner for months without really gaining much steam. So we'll see if this means there's going to be yet another new push to finally complete those.
Thanks, Devlin. Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett from the Bureau in D.C. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. When it comes to getting the legal help you need, LegalZoom provides a great solution that works with your busy schedule. If you're starting a business, forming an LLC, or getting a trademark, will, or living trust, LegalZoom will provide the personal attention you need and help you take care of all the details. Call or visit LegalZoom.com today. And don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout for a special discount. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services, but it's not a law firm.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Shari's Berries. Mothers are special every day, but Mother's Day is the day to really make her feel special. Order a gift for mom that's as unique as she is. Giant, freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries, starting at just $19.99. Over 40% savings, or double the berries for just $10 more. Shari's Berries are topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, or nuts. Don't wait long. Order now before this Mother's Day deal ends. Call 866-FRUIT-02 to order or visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in WSJ. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Make sure you make mom feel special and order now. Greg Steinhoffel spent 35 years at Target, rising through the retailer's merchandising ranks and becoming chief executive in 2008. As CEO, he won praise for adding fresh food to stores and defending the company in a proxy fight, but was ultimately sunk by a massive data breach that exposed the credit card data and personal information of up to 70 million customers during the last holiday shopping season. Are there lessons to be learned from Mr. Steinhoffel's ouster that we can take into a crisis at our own jobs? More now from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin.
Well, Gordon, the Journal spoke with Dartmouth business professor Paul Argenti, who offered some tips on how to manage a crisis in the workplace in light of what's happened at Target. Number one, he says to make a grand gesture of apology. Time-tested phrases like "I deeply regret" and "I wish this hadn't happened" do actually work if they're delivered with some real feeling behind them. Number two, explain what happened. This sounds simple, but a lot of companies don't. Companies sometimes get tripped up with overly technical or legal responses or failing to define the problem correctly. Then explain to your customers what comes next. Focus on the most important constituents. In Target's case, it meant the consumers. Argenti says that Target needs people to feel comfortable putting down their credit cards again. And when in doubt, Gordon, he says to watch Mary Barra figure it out. The new GM CEO has cast herself as an outsider who's new to the issue despite her long history at the automaker, and people at this point seem to be willing to give her the benefit of the doubt.
All right. This is really two lessons in crisis management 101, right? These are college courses waiting to happen, a full semester of stuff from Target and General Motors.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone, it seems like, and I'm no career expert, but it seems like whether it's politics or business or even just in life, honesty seems to go a really, really long way. And people are so quick to cover up, and you know, it's always the cover up is worse than the crime.
Yeah.
You know, that old saying. People are so quick to sort of defend and cover up. Just come out and be as honest as you can, and a lot of times that's the best thing to do.
It's amazing how far an apology goes too, right?
Yeah.
Just think at home when you're squabbling with Lori. Like when I'm squabbling with Kelly sometimes, like just like, you know what? We got to stop this. I'm
exactly.
Sorry. You misunderstood me. I misunderstood you. Let's grab a bottle of wine. I mean,
another place, by the way, where the cover up much worse than the crime when you do that at home.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, Mike. 15 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Glad you're with us. Good Tuesday morning. Time for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Reward yourself today at Lexington Inns, Hotels, and Suites. Earn free stays at hotels worldwide and instant perks at most locations. Visit LexingtonHotels.com. Want an indication that the economy is looking a little brighter heading into summer? Airplanes will be a little more crowded. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says new numbers indicate sales of airline tickets are up, an encouraging sign of ordinary people spending a few extra bucks to enjoy themselves. Rick, what are you seeing?
We've had a lot of bad news so far this year. The economy barely grew in the first quarter. We know all about the polar vortex and the terrible winter. But it turns out that airline bookings are up, not by a huge amount, but about 5% in the first 3 months, and they may have risen by a little more than that in April. And what that tells you is that more people are planning to take flying vacations this summer. And that tells you people are willing to spend more money, and they do spend more money. So a lot of this data comes from MasterCard, which tracks hundreds of thousands of purchases. And what they know is that when they see a spike in airline bookings, about 2 to 3 months later, they see a spike in expenditures at hotels, things associated with vacations, tourist things, restaurant meals, and stuff like that. And they've seen this before, and the pattern is very clear. So what they're telling me is, based on what we're seeing with airline bookings, we're expecting some nice increases in spending over the summer.
I was just going to say, so that's got a significant trickle-down effect, or trickle-up perhaps in some cases, when folks are taking vacations that require flying.
Trickles around.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Good. All right, so I guess the question is that sustainable? Like, can you expect momentum in the fall if folks are flying in the summer?
Honestly, I think it's impossible to say. I mean, we've got a very fragile economy. There's no doubt about that. You know, the spending numbers for the first quarter, that is GDP number, tells you that even, you know, the economists were, they knew that it was going to be a weak quarter because of the bad winter weather, but it came in even worse than they expected. One interesting thing about this MasterCard data is that, believe it or not, this is not necessarily spending by the wealthy. The wealthy are not necessarily spending more, and part of the reason is their spending goes up and down based on what happens in the stock market, because they're the ones who have money in the stock market, and when stocks go up, which they did last year by almost 30%, those people have more money.
Right.
They literally have more money, and that's not really the case for mostly everybody else. So what they say is these are middle-income consumers who are doing the majority of where the increase in airline bookings is coming from. So that tells you that at some level, this so-called recovery is working its way down to the middle.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 8 minutes before the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. The nation's largest veterans group is calling on Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki to resign. The American Legion's move comes amid probes into alleged mismanagement leading to deaths, including an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease. The Journal's Ben Kessling.
The Legion sees this as being a systemic issue, not having a culture of accountability with subordinates at the more than 150 VA hospitals and more than 800 outpatient clinics around the country.
Now, the nation's second largest vets group, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, says Shinseki needs to reestablish credibility, but it does not support the call for resignation. A longtime General Motors executive that led an inconclusive probe into ignition switch problems has retired, the second GM executive to step down suddenly recently. The faulty ignition switches were later linked to 13 deaths and are at the center of controversy involving delayed recalls. House Speaker John Boehner says that Representative Trey Gowdy will lead a special panel that will investigate the attacks that killed four Americans in Benghazi in 2012. Gowdy is a former federal prosecutor from South Carolina. The U.S. Supreme Court says that from a constitutional standpoint, it's okay to pray before a municipal government meeting. The Journal's Brent Kendall says the 5-4 ruling came in a case originating from a Rochester, New York suburb.
And Justice Kennedy said, you know, it happens in this case that the congregations in the town of Greece are mostly Christian congregations, and so that's who the town drew from.
This morning brings an update on international trade, and many economists expect to see that the trade gap for March narrowed some to around $40 billion. That would be a positive step for total economic growth. U.S. stock futures are up a little after a slightly higher close yesterday. The Dow was up 18 points. Weak Chinese data tempered gains yesterday. All flights to and from Donetsk, Ukraine, have been temporarily suspended by Ukraine's aviation authorities after heavy fighting broke out around the pro-Russian separatist stronghold, leading to dozens of casualties, as you may have heard. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a law restricting the use of profanity in the arts amid a flurry of bills tightening control over speech in the web. Some performers and writers will have to issue their works in special packaging, indicating that they do include profanity. Russia has a tradition of using swear words in works of art, and critics doubt this law can be enforced.
All right, thank you, Gina. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Going to the post office takes up valuable time. Leasing a postage meter? Expensive, with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter, and at just a fraction of the cost, you can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter.
and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer. A no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's stamps.com. Enter WSJ. Did you win any money off the Kentucky Derby? If so, what'd you do with it? Give any of it away? Denver Broncos wide receiver Wes Welker did. He was handing out $100 bills after apparently scoring big at Churchill Downs on Saturday. USA Today writes about a guy named Mark Blandford who's been a celebrity watcher at the Derby for the past decade. He spotted Welker exiting with a friend and a police officer carrying a huge stack of money. Next thing he knew, Welker's handing out $100 bills. NFL on Fox, by the way, put a picture of it on their Twitter page. Welker, however, has not tweeted since April 26th. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.